Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Excelsior, her ongoing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Hi, everyone. This is Mike Hennessy, co-producer, with another edition of Behind the Scenes of Star Trek Excelsior. Joining me for this episode via Skype is the captain, times two, Elise Krawick. Elise, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Mike. I've been looking forward to this.
Well, I certainly hope so, and we're glad to have you here. And Elise, tell us a little bit about yourself, anything you'd be comfortable sharing with everyone. I'm sure everyone's kind of intrigued with who this lady is who's proved to be such a versatile and charming actress.
And also unkillable as far as captains go.
Lord knows we've tried.
Well, my name is Elise Krawick, and I live in a suburb of the metropolitan New Orleans, Louisiana area. I'm a legal secretary in real life. And I got into voice acting on a whim.
What kind of a whim? Go ahead and explain that a little bit.
A good friend of mine had gotten a small part in some audio drama, and she was telling me about it. And it sounded intriguing, but I'm not one who makes decisions on a snap basis. And I kicked it around for a while, and then I said, oh, what the heck? The next one that looks interesting that I come across, I'm going to give it a shot. And as it turned out, a few days, a couple of weeks later, I think it was over on the Darker Projects forum board, and I saw a posting for a new audio drama, and I thought, well, see what it's all about. What I find very amusing was not being a very confident person when it comes to performing or anything like that. I actually originally auditioned for the narrator's role. I didn't even think about trying out for the captain's role.
When you had a chance to look at what the role of the captain involved, what did you think of the Captain Cortez character?
I wondered how to play her because she's supposed to be half Vulcan and half human. And so toward that end, I did go over to the role play game that Excelsior is based on. And everything I could see kind of said that, you know, that her Vulcan traits were more recessive. So I tried to play her more along the human line. But when it came to certain emotional levels, I wanted that touch of Vulcan to come out in her. And as far as the Vulcan aspect, James says he heard it in my voice from the audition tape. And for the life of me, I can't hear how my voice sounds Vulcan. But if they hear it and they like it, I'm all for it. Let's go.
Elise says her background with Star Trek goes all the way back to the original series. But there are a lot of influences on the way she portrays Captain Cortez.
There's a little touch of Picard. There's a little touch of Janeway. And, of course, the Vulcan touch in there from Mr. Spock. And Dr. Crusher.
Acting is usually a team endeavor, but with Excelsior, most of our lines are recorded solo with just you and a microphone. So how do you try to make up for the fact that you don't have someone to play off of in the room with you?
I've been called a method actor. I'll take their word for it. But when I rehearse the lines, I rehearse with like a mental image of the other character. The dialogue kind of gives me, their dialogue gives me an idea of what the delivery should be like. You know, I'm always trying to make sure that it comes across as in the moment. It's right now. These two people are face to face.
After putting all that work into the character, Captain Cortez, of course, was killed off in season two. I ask Elise how she found out that this was going to happen and what her reaction was.
It was in end of the first season, possibly. that James had sent out a blanket email in which he said, quote, even some of the major characters aren't going to survive. And well, a week or so later, I guess it was, got an email from James. He said, I want to let you know before you actually got your script that Cortez isn't going to be around much longer. And I said, hey, you know, it happens, you know, as in fantasy, as in real life. Life starts and life ends.
Captain, they're moving.
Draw weapons. Good luck, everyone.
No! Captain Cortez suffered multiple impact traumas, massive intestinal tearing, and is going to need a full lung transplant. I can keep her stable for the most part, but she's going to need medical care at a starbase. And even then...
Lieutenant Commander Dovan?
Yes?
Would you come with me, please?
What is it?
There were complications with Captain Cortez's latest surgery.
What?
She's dying.
Captain Cortez, it has been both an honor and a privilege to have served with you. Peace and long life.
And you, Algar Dovan. Live long and prosper.
Captain Cortez made a one-shot return in Chris Chan Roberson's No One Gets Out Alive.
I stayed on the planet too long. I didn't want to face what was happening up here. Wanted to stay in my research, in logic, in control. Yubari, you're relieved. Dovan, Perelson, with me. Security, send all available teams to Ensign Enderby's quarters. Apprehend Ensign Brecken and his accomplices.
Lieutenant Palvey here, sir. Fights are breaking out all over the ship. We're reporting phaser fire on decks 3, 4, and engineering. We don't have anyone left to send to your location.
Damn it. Acknowledged. Cortez out. Let's move it, people.
Yes, yes, Captain.
Chris's script was the winner of a contest where we invited listeners to write their own script. All 5 of the finalists featured Captain Cortez in the lead. I ask Elise if that surprised her.
I mean, I was just, like I say, I was just dumbfounded. You know, I truly had no idea of, you know, her impact. And it still kind of boggles my mind. I just had no idea that she had struck such a note with the listeners.
In addition to playing Captain Cortez in frequent flashbacks, Elise was asked to play a very different character, the all-too-human skipper of the Anbar, Sam Cox, in the special episode, Sunset.
I got hold of the script, and I started reading it. The more I read of it, the more I liked her, because in a way, I feel like Sam Cox is some of the intensity that I generally don't let loose on a daily basis.
Sam Cox was a tour de force role in Sunset, but it was also an enormous role with almost 400 lines of dialogue to record, and Elise told me that it took a month to get them all recorded. She also took special care with 2 speeches that were defining moments for that episode.
I practiced each of those speeches for 2 days before I even sat down to record them. Because when I did them, I didn't have the script in front of me. I did them both from memory. Because that's how I wanted the delivery. I wanted it to sound like she's walking up to the microphone to address the colonists.
Is this on?
It's on, Skipper.
Facts are facts. We've been a crew for 60 years, and somehow, we're just not anymore. That's why we're leaving Paradise Colony here. When the Anbar pulls out, anyone who wants to stay behind can. The colony will remain under the command of Colony Chief Becca Sanders. In a short while, I will cease to be your skipper, so let this be my final order. Follow her as you would me. She will fight for this colony just as hard as we've all fought for the Anbar. She already has. I wouldn't clap. This isn't a happy day. This is the day that something beautiful died, and all we can do is hope that something better rises out of the swamplands here.
Or she's sitting in that chair on the bridge, and she's talking to the crew as they're getting ready to leave paradise.
All right, everyone, we're ready. Remember, our goal is to make it through the passage, get inside the Milky Way, and start broadcasting a warning signal right away. We don't have the guns to beat a bugger fleet, even if it's as small as we hope it is. And it better be small. So we just go as fast as we can and hold them back with phasers and missiles long enough for us to break the barricade. Then we're home free. Clear?
In one episode, Rachel Cortez and Sam Cox ended up speaking to each other. I asked Elise how she handled such a tricky assignment.
I went back and I listened to several episodes, you know, of the early episodes of Excelsior, and got Captain Cortez's voice back in my head, which, you know, it didn't take long, you know, but I just wanted to get back into that reserve in her voice, because I'd already gotten comfortable with Sam Cox.
All right, hail the Excelsior.
Hailing frequencies open.
This is Commander Rachel Cortez of the USS Excelsior.
Skipper Sam Cox, Ambar Actual. Glad to finally meet you, Rach. Never guessed I'd have a Vulcan cousin out there.
The sentiment is mutual, Captain. Are you prepared for your mission?
You mean if we said our prayers?
I was referring to the Anbar's deflector array.
Oh, that too.
Elise says she's willing to reprise her role as Captain Cortez whenever executive producer James Haney wants her back.
With every script James has done, he just gets better. And he is a very, very talented writer. And being a writer myself, I like the way he layers everything. Just when you think, okay, I bet I know where this is going, next script comes out and you've got another layer to peel back. And that may not be much, but he's given you that little, you know, sleight of hand turn. And that's really the fun of his writing. He writes in such a way that you've picked up that string, you dove into the middle of the ball of spaghetti, you found the end of it, and you're following it to its end. Yeah, you've got a lot of twists and turns and crawling through holes and things like this to find it, but it's worth the journey. He is really good, and he is doing it so well.
We hope you've enjoyed this look behind the scenes of Star Trek Excelsior. Our thanks again to the captain, times two, Elise Krawick. For Excelsior, I'm Mike Hennessy.